The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. Yes, so your pastor is blaming the little short circuit in her brain on adopting a second greyhound who likes to howl all through the night for the last two nights. And so I forgot while I was preparing the sermon that it's actually the Festival of John the Baptist. So you have the readings for the Festival of John the Baptist on the bulletin, and we're singing about John the Baptist, but I'll be preaching about Jesus and storms and peace. Because I need a little bit of peace right now. Maybe you do too. As the disciples set out on a boat with Jesus, a great storm arose and threatened them. The image of sea back in that day reflected a glimpse of evil and chaos in the world. It was the sea was experienced as uncontrollable. And people imagined, as we hear in some of the Psalms, sea monsters in its depths. So we're not talking, you know, this day on the boat. We're not talking a day at the shore, folks. No wonder the disciples panicked, right? And if you've ever been out on a small boat in a storm, you'd understand. I think Steve Cathcart can nod yes, and Dave probably. "Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care, Jesus?" It's a question for the ages, I think. A question that might have been asked this week in our country and in different places around the world by Christians. "Jesus, don't you care?" In many places, as chaos continues to threaten our communities and the world, "Don't you care about us?" with the implication, "Do something." See, in the face of terror, Jesus' presence can seem far too weak and insignificant to help us, because Jesus acted this way while he was in human form with his disciples. But this isn't the way. Calming the sea and the storms, literally, is not the way that Jesus acts literally for his disciples now. By faith, that's another question. But it's precisely in this vulnerable weakness that Jesus reveals his power, the same power that sustains Paul and his friends in the second reading, who are enduring afflictions and hardships and calamity and riots. But they're still able to say that their hearts are wide open to the people who are persecuting them, to the Corinthian community. See, when it comes to healing the human soul, salvation, brute force, literal force, is nothing. And the cross is everything. The Christ who sleeps in the boat is the same Christ who hangs from the cross, where he fully embraces us in our sin and evil, which lose all power over us as we trust in the God revealed in the man on the tree. I mean, how could they withstand such mercy as revealed on the cross? See, that's the power of the cross. God's unimaginable, illogical mercy and love and forgiveness that go all the way and let us do whatever killing God, and then come back and say peace to you. God's eternal, weak, powerful love is the power into which we were all baptized and into which little Chase will be baptized shortly. So what does God's eternal love have to say about us in tragedies and chaos that we face in our world? But God doesn't only work through the church in this world. God works in two ways. First, Christians confess, God works through the church, through this good news of Jesus Christ, to heal the human soul by the power of the cruciform eternal love revealed on the cross. But God also works through systems of justice and order, such as government, in order to create safe places for people to live and to enjoy life. God works with two hands. For some reason, we say with the right hand, God works through the gospel, through church, and with the left hand, God works in the world through order and justice. And we, citizens of a nation, support and work through systems of justice and order, not blindly, I have to say, as Attorney General Jeff Sessions misinterpreted this past week. He forgot that we live in a broken world, which is the refrain of the Lutheran tradition in particular, and that laws, not only humans, but laws also are sometimes broken or not God-pleasing. Christians know that God is behind good laws and good order, even though the laws are always imperfect. And so if the laws and order do not reflect what we think God wants, what we interpret God wants, Christians are to obey God instead of the law, no matter the consequences that might happen to the self, which is what Paul was talking about after he got jailed. For Christians, the central concern at heart, Christianity, is about loving God and loving the neighbor as the self. It's interesting, when the Apostle Paul quotes the great commandment of Jesus, he actually leaves out the first part of loving God, which has meant that Lutherans over the years understand that Paul interprets that loving God, faith, is taken care of by Christ, and so is lived out, loving God, by loving and serving the neighbor. How do we best serve the neighbor? Well, that question can be answered in good conscience in many, many different ways. However, on the one hand, I need to say clearly that God doesn't care more about people of this country than he does people of other countries. No matter if we might, because we live here, we naturally have affection, most affection for this country. But for the creator of all humanity, of every human, the lives and safety of all human beings, no matter race or nationality, matters to the Creator. Following the law is not more important than the suffering or of the human being. Humans were made for the law, not vice versa, as we heard Jesus say a few weeks back. And if we're insisting on our perspective, we might want to look at why, especially if our Creator might see it differently. That's what we need to do, is what does God, what is our best sense of what God's will is? Dismissing God or trying to be above God doesn't get us anywhere in the end. On the other hand, I should also say that I have been really disheartened, especially in the past week, at quick efforts to demonize and efforts to make immigration in particular a clear-cut issue with easy answers when it's a vastly complicated system that has been broken for many years. My point is never to push a particular response or agenda, social agenda item. My job as preacher is to push trust in God, who will guide us in how we might serve our neighbors. My job is to encourage us to love God and to love the neighbor as the self. And so we immediately, even though I can't say it, return from God's left hand to God's right hand of the good news of Jesus Christ, because by our own effort, by my own effort, I cannot love God nor my neighbor. Which is why we gather each week as Christians, beginning with confessing our sins and hearing God's forgiveness of each of us and all of us. We gather each week to hear what is nearest to God's heart through the Word. We gather to be sheltered when we're crying out in life's storms, so that God would work on us through the Word and through the meal and through the communion of saints to return vision to our eyes, to unclog our ears, and to soften our hearts, so that we might support brothers and sisters who've lost loved ones to violence or disease or tragedy with the promise of the resurrection. See, in the face of fear, even though Jesus' presence can seem too weak, I mean, we receive it through this weak word that's coming at you through a sermon and through the liturgy and through the scripture. Jesus comes to us through a little sip of wine and a little crumb of bread. But it's precisely in that vulnerability that Jesus reveals his almighty power. Who then is this but the creator of the seas and the lands and the cosmos and the people? God, who in the beginning brought order to the chaotic face of the deep, who now in Christ brings peace in the face of storms. Peace. Who then is this? Our greatest help in life's storm, who came that we might finally cry out, "You do care." Dear God, thanks be to God. Amen.